name is Jörg Faber. I'm working with Forico Logic and working with SCT. I hope you know SCT a little bit for the tools there. We're going to talk about the concept of being a little bit more efficient, moving away from big fat servers, sponsoring the hardware vendors too much, to smaller, lower cost servers, and more thinking centric, storage centric than server centric. That saves you a lot, helps you a lot with your deployments or whatever you're doing. Okay, so some people talk about grid computing and try to pitch you something that's future. I'm talking about things that are today here. I saw a short presentation of the guy from here that did something with Oracle. A large number of Oracle servers, teaming them together, peering them together, get a lot of throughput. Same we do at the back end of the storage side, how we peer storage arrays together. That's the name peer storage, I don't need to explain anything now. You already have understood it already now, the whole concept. So we team storage arrays together and give you maximum performance, maximum throughput, whatever it does. Good? Okay. So I'm going to talk about little things about what you normally see today if you do the concept of booting your arrays, booting your servers, booting your device, how the bootstrap mechanism works, and it could be a little bit more efficient. How you could help with your work, how Ecologic with the peer storage solutions could help you, what iSCSI, storage over IP, could mean to you, and how we could easily avoid it. By the way, there's a huge, do you know the European largest customer on iSCSI? It's here in Copenhagen, it's SDC. They do this already today. It's the European largest iSCSI customer in the financial world, where everybody's saying iSCSI is insane, it's risky. Well, they do all the financial business that way. It's very safe, it's very fast, it's very affordable also. Okay, if you think about a server, a box, you can brand or point any name on it, any label you want, we don't care. Yeah? It has BIOS, well, you know this better than I do. It is a server. When it comes alive, you give it to 20 and you turn it on, it goes to the BIOS and it does all kinds of checking devices. Whether it's Windows, whether it's Linux, that's about the way it goes, right? If I'm completely wrong, just say it, I don't care, right? Okay, so you can throw in all kinds of devices there, and the order also, and there's one thing, you can also use PXE. Who's not familiar with PXE there? Everybody is familiar with PXE. So I can ask you everything about PXE, right? I don't think so. Okay, so let's say that it's normally a system that detects there's a hard drive there, a RAID controller there, it assigns a name to it, or a device name, whatever, and it comes alive, right? Okay, so you've got a local disk, you have maybe a local RAID controller, and now you can think about how you could boot up a SAN, how you could think maybe of a DHCP table, TFTP there, PXE there, and you could be more efficient. Why would you distribute the chaos if you could keep the chaos in one central point? Okay, so there's a different way of thinking about how you could boot and get your service up to running. You could think about the root, the C drive in a different way, in an easier way if possible. Okay? Normally, if you think about booting servers, well, how long does it take for you guys to get a server up and running? Who can do it in 3 minutes here? Okay, who can do it in 2 minutes? Okay. Well, you're working at SDC probably? Because that's what you guys do. You do it already booting of SANs, or how do you do it now?
No, we have got an image on the called RAM device.
Yeah. You work with images already, right?
No, we had the whole thing not in a hard disk, but in
memory.
Okay. Some sort of memory card. That's the whole system.
Like memory sticks here, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but I'm talking about complete Red Hat servers, or complete Windows servers, or Sun servers, or whatever. You can do it also in no time. No time. You can do it in no time. Okay? So, the whole story, you can do it. You can do it in a more efficient way, and you don't have to script as much as you have to do today if you are bootstrapping servers in a different way. Okay, PXC is a protocol that's now on Ethernet adapters there, you can put it on. And then you need a PXC server, and that PXC server can, it's not that fast, but it gives you disks. It can give you images which you can kind of mount. Okay. Who has experience with using PXC here? You like it? Is it fast enough?
No.
Not fast enough, right? Not alive if you've got a lot of servers, so you need a new protocol. That's what this is about. Okay. So the PXC concept is put a DSP server somewhere central, have kind of images, central images, one installation of Red Hat, one installation of SUSE, one installation of Windows, and just give pointers. Make a DHCP server, and so you're very easy in deploying the server. But IBM calls on demand, but that's a DHCP table, so simple it is. You just can put in there which disks, which volume it needs to mount, and you're up and running. That's the whole concept. Yeah? Make central images of your operating systems. Make a next one, maybe over SQL or MySQL, or if it's Windows or Oracle, whatever you want to run. Make central images of your operating system application that could come next to it. That's the concept we do. Try to bootstrap. Try to think about first the tiny OS, and then the real stuff. Because then you can use the network, and then you can use gigabit Ethernet and whatever you've got. First do minimal stuff, that you are alive, the IP works, and then do the real the next step and get the real data. So a server comes alive, you turn it on, it goes to the DHCP server, it gets an IP address, and it can get to the PXC server, it goes to the DHCP server, and suddenly it can get the whole distribution. You can keep it on one central location. Right? So suppose this server is supposed to get this, I don't have a mouse here, but one of these drives. Well, you understand that. I don't need to point that out. Right? Okay. So this kernel suddenly comes down from this kernel. This server is putting it on the network for this system. If I'm not clear, just ask. I don't mind. And this server gets a disk like it is an internal disk. Right? There's a couple of steps. Your NIC needs to be supporting PHP. It needs to support PXC. Not all do, but not all do this. Ethernet adapters support PXC. So then in a couple of steps, PHP is used, PXC is used, you can get the disk image to your server. So a couple of steps ago, it's not that clear, but well, you can understand that as PXC Linux is wide, you can get it going to that server. But you can go in these steps, it goes like an init program, or your kernel gets booted. Step by step, all your components are getting to the server. Right? So then your unit system comes alive, and scripts like this, other than in your kernel when you start up. Your iSCSI initiator is activated, that's what we do. We use the SourceForge drivers, but also we use the Cisco drivers. And you've got everything up and running. Right? So that's the whole concept of booting this way. Doing it this way, you can have Novell, Linux, Windows, Sun, whatever operating system servers. You can either only put the data on a central point using gigabit Ethernet switches, using an array that you connect there, or you can even move the complete operating system there and completely think diskless. A server can only can be only a motherboard, a little bit memory, processor, and 20, a few connectors, and that's it. It doesn't need to be that big. Server can be very tiny. If you think it that way, if you think about can move out a disk drive, that can save a lot. Can save the maintenance. I know customers that don't want to have maintenance contracts with defenders, because what's the value of a server? 500 euro? If it's broken, we throw it away. It's more expensive to pay the maintenance each year. So if you think about server centric, means it has no value, 500 euro. Spending the hours on it is more if you can reboot it very easily again And from the central point, it can help, you very effective doing your IT stuff. That's another concept. Not all the hardware vendors like this, but customers once in a while do like it, because it can save some money. Right? So this concept was, you can move the data, you can move the operating system completely away from the server. You don't need anything special when it's Linux, when it's Unix. If it's Windows, you need something special, which is called an HVA, because Microsoft doesn't understand this at this moment. Maybe they will copy something. Sun, same story. Sun has the same way, and we're certified in Sun. The same way you can use the blades, and in the blades from Sun, there is no space for an HVA, a functional HVA. It has no space, it doesn't fit. So also Sun with Solaris 10, they got it. The whole platform of storage, the whole array, the whole system needs to be cheaper. 5% is not affordable. There's no speed, not enough. There's more speed LV than that. There's more options, there's much more access control list, there's much more security. So there's a different way of thinking how you can do it more effective. Solaris 10 has an optimized IP stack to support iSCSI. Who you use it? Who are the people that are already using iSCSI in the way? Oh shit. Probably nobody. Who's using Fiber Channel? Why are you using Fiber Channel? Why?
Because it's expensive.
You don't like to go out of things that are already more fun. Okay, fine, okay. If you want to spend your budget, okay, sorry, you should be with us. We are we're a different company. We work on the place to save money. Okay? So the whole system looks like, and this is a presentation I made for Sun. Sun is research for Sun companies. Like a blade, well, same as a motherboard. A blade has no difference, it's a motherboard. Same as a disk server. Suddenly I can over an iSCSI drive. You should show see it at our booth. An iSCSI drive, what does the indicator do? It makes a disk drive over my UTP cable, whether that's got it here or 100 kilometers away. It looks like an internal drive. It looks like the internal SCSI drive. The operating system can see a difference because the SCSI protocol is just, I'm thinking in sectors, I'm thinking in blocks, and suddenly I got block storage over my head by Ethernet at the time. Where the storage is, nobody cares. The operating system doesn't care. That's the beauty of iSCSI. You don't need to think about it. So, if I have a blade here, a Unix box, whatever, it can think it has an internal drive, but it doesn't have to be there. It looks at the operating system level even that it is a RAID controller, but it's not. It's completely transparent to the operating system. Linux, whatever you run. Right? That's what iSCSI does to you. So you can create your file system there, you can put all kinds of all the things you want to do. Right? If you follow the activity on SourceForge, oh this is too much now, this is just one thing you can do more even in this array. If you are on demand growing, you do websites, you do database, data mining, and it grows a little, well, at some point in time you need more horsepower at the front end, like the presentation in front of the Oracle. You need more servers at the front end, you can put in more blades or more servers that you want. But at a certain moment you need also more I.O. capacity on your back end. What do you guess one of these devices does on I.O.s? How many I.O.s I do? What do you guess? What can you do over the slow Ethernet protocol? What do you think you can do? No idea. Nobody is touching storage here?
10 MB/s.
10 MB/s? Then I'm using 100 MB network. But I'm using gigs, big Ethernet. So I do 150, 120 per port. And if I do a server that I connect here, these servers can do permanent control that I've got there on top, 120 megs per second on sustained I.O. If I put a 2 in it, or 3, I can team. There's a Debian site we work with in Ireland. they want to have 300 megabytes per second throughput on a server because they're streaming video. If you know World Media, where you can buy content, in a couple of months you can buy it cheaper than others. Debian servers that are going to do that for you. Movies, who's going to rent a DVD in the future? You can download it very much, much cheaper. That's their business case, and you just limit that in the environment. So if you want to, the beauty of IT, like you guys all know, you can team and trunk. If you add a couple of channels together, you get double throughput. Yeah. With gigabit Ethernet, you about do 100 megs per second. IOs per second, you can do 60,000 IOs. You can run that. So suppose you want to do 120, the only thing you have to do is take another one beside, load balancing, and it can get 120,000 IOs per second. And you got double throughput because everything is double. Right? Space is getting double also, and you don't need to reconfigure the servers. Load balanced storage, network storage, that's what this does. Okay, this is a little bit about Ecologic. A little bit back about iSCSI. What fiber channel is, I'm sticking SCSI frames in a fiber channel protocol. It's not that efficient. I need a lot of horsepower to get through. What iSCSI is, I'm sticking SCSI frames in an Ethernet network. And I can use all the facilities I know from IP, VPN, ADSL, whatever you want to do, IPsec. Whatever you want to do, you can use something for your storage. No longer you need special brocades or main data, you can use standard, whatever switch you've got. Yeah, that's the beauty of storage over IP, iSCSI, that's this concept. If you think it's not fast, or if you think the limit field is not behind, watch a little bit about what these guys at SourceForge are writing about it. Who needs NFS? What's the beauty of cluster file systems? A hell of a difference. A hell of a reducing of your network overhead. No more file locks, no more file limits, all gone. Block I/O, no more file limits, block I/O, throughput. Complete different way of thinking. That's why iSCSI is now coming up. Why did Red Hat buy Sistina? Why do they do this? Because they were a little bit afraid of what VMware could do. But if you see what this does, you get a little button. Yeah. iSCSI, IP, well, who of you don't know Netmask, Ping, and that's your business, that's how you grow, that's what you do to your customers normally, right? IP is your business. Storage over IP is just as easy. So now about performance. Well, if you think it does no performance there, we outperform the whole industry. Nobody can beat the concept of using block I/O over IP. And now we're using only 1 gigabit Ethernet. But there's more coming, I can show you later. An array like us, that's 300 megs per second, 60,000, or 50,000, you need a new firmware, instead of 60,000, we don't know. How does it look for the administrator? I give you a pool of space, and in this pool of space, I can carve out fractions, portions that I can give to the users. Right? And I strike across the RAID set. I'm not going to tell you all the details about RAID 1.0 or 5.0, but we do that on a lower level. And if I put the next system across, then we strike across two arrays. So, the more arrays you put together, the more of those lights you see flashing, because we do the I/O in parallel across all the drives, all the spindles, everything is used. Want to do a million IOs per second? It's possible just to put 30 arrays in a line in parallel, and we will blow a million IOs per second. Yeah. It's page-based, so the system also noticed when suddenly one array is more used than another. We can move pages across the other system without, as an administrator, you have to think about anything. Self-managing, self-optimization, self-tuning, everything. Just fast as possible. Okay. So that's this concept, this PowerPoint. I hate this stuff. It's not a thing it does. there are ways how you can make things also HAI available. Suppose your server detects that via this array number 2, here you have another connection, but it's not that fast. It's an auto discover. I can get more performance if I go to array 1, then on the fly I can jump over to the other system with my connections all going. Without seeing anything, I can move ongoing IOs on the server, because that way I discover this backend that I can do more. You as a demonstrator, you don't have to do anything. You only connect to a portal, to the portal, from the portal you get the IO, we can do the redirection of the channels, the IO part you want to do underneath. Right? Okay, so that's a little bit background on the storage. It's kind of simple, I showed you about 1,000,000 IOs per second. Yes, that's what we do, and we will do even more. What about 10 gigabit Ethernet? Have you already played with 10 gig Ethernet? Do you know where these displays are already in Europe? Be surprised. This is what Chelsea already gives you now today, with the first implementation that's growing. It's a high throughput number you get there. And this is when they use IO meter as a benchmark. You get a very high throughput number here suddenly. And not for the price that you are thinking in the other worlds. 10 gigabit Ethernet is not a dream, it's reality already today. Broadcast companies use it. All the big media players use it already today. The movie business is fully 10 gigabit. Okay. So, I don't know if this all this is management stuff. Now a little bit about, there's an alternative way of thinking also. You can also stick in, especially HVA. Then you upload the whole protocol stack and you put it on a chipset, a QLogic or an adaptive HVA. You can stick it also in a server, and then that HVA has to look at the DHCP server to make the connection to the array where it needs to talk to it. It gives you the lungs with it that way, right? That's another way of thinking how you can work with this, and this is how the Windows world, and in some cases if you want to do a little bit more performance, you have to work. Because, it does take some CPU time if you have to put all these IP packages in TCP/IP frame. It does take some work, but it is work for the processor. Normally it's 10%, what I want to see most of the times. If that's too much for your service, you stick it in HVA, and it's nothing. Then the whole offload is done on a car on chipsets. For the best I can do this one. So I my exclusive boot gives you the option that suppose I have a server that crashes, once in a while it happens, right? Now you can stick another server in there and boom, straight away it fails over. It goes to the same disks, the same volumes, right? You take the volumes out of the server instead of keeping them in the server. Take the OS, take the application drives out of the server. Don't make them direct attached, don't think on GBOS. Then put them out, put them in a clever way of thinking. Then it's very easy if there's a risk with the server. Stick another server in, put in that HVA. The DHCP server will already tell what it has to do and it will automatically connect to the right disk drives. That's another way, it's an alternative for thinking in Pixieboot. This is a different way. If Pixieboot, DHCP, DFTP is too complex, then there's the alternative of using HVAs to do it also for you. Right? So then again, you can put your OS disk there, the data drive there, and you can move it on that way. Yeah? So you can, just a reboot of the server is enough. So we use something here called snapshots. Point-in-time images of the file system to make these disk drives. Well, if you know jumpstart on Sun or this kind of snapshot stuff, you simply make a start of a freeze of the old situation. You do your installation of whatever you want, and you say all the difference between the point where I am now and the point where I froze the situation, I can call a snapshot. All the changes, all the deltas, I can say, keep that together and you make all that a disk. Then I can call an image, a drive, that I can clone, that I can copy as much many times as I want, and I can put it on a storage array. I'm not doing ghost, I'm not making images which I'm distributing, but I'm making a snapshot of the begin point and the end point of my installation, of my SUSE, my Red Hat, my Windows, or whatever. And I can make as many snaps I want and I can put them in a range together. I do it only once. I can make a tree of all my applications. If I have to change my distribution level, then automatically all these dependent snaps go with me. And I automatically all these volumes, all these drives that I had there go with me. I can make administration that way very easy. Okay, let's go a little back to this customer SDC here in Denmark. They've got a huge number of servers out there in two locations. They're growing to about 500 servers in one location and 500 in another location. Not there yet. How many guys do you think they need to maintain the whole operation? Two SANs, a lot of storage, all these financial applications, big databases, lots of terras, lots of servers, whole setup. What does it take doing it this way? How many Apple guys? 5, 10? 1, 2? And first, they say 2, but it's 1. One guy does it. The other guy is, yeah, correct.
Well, maybe that's why they were down a couple of weeks ago.
that was the old stuff, what he touched the stuff.
All right.
Sorry, I heard something about it. They had another thing there. Yeah, they went into the house. Okay.
I like that.
It's more easy than people. Okay, so it's just make a snapshot of what I told you already then, and then you can do whatever you want. You can refer from a snapshot, you can clone from a snapshot, you can back up from a snapshot, you can do whatever. It's like an image of a file system. I need to explain. Who of you doesn't understand snapshot? I don't need to explain you snapshot. So you can do stuff to put a test server there, right? And from the test server, you create a standalone installation that you snap on the server, and that snap you can deploy to the server that you want. Pretty straightforward, right? Nothing new. So you can do something like the Adaptec APIs, the Logic APIs, have something. Suppose if I want to have a disaster recovery environment, suppose I'm putting all my, I'm taking all my hard drives out of my servers and I'm putting them in the SAN. What happens if my SAN falls away? If my storage is gone? Okay, these Adaptec APIs, they've got something like an alternate path in it. So they can point to one array, to one SAN in Europe, my main location, but if it's not there, these servers can boot from a remote location. Get the same image there. So it's completely redundant. The array by itself, it has already an availability of 9.59, it's easier. So it's very reliable, but if that's not enough, you can have a disaster recovery site where your operating system can come from. Yeah, completely done. Okay, so booting up the SAN helps you with more reliability, the RAID protected operating system drives. It's no work, much easier to work with. Availability comes higher. Performance is pretty good. You will need much less disk space because a lot of the operating disks that you put in there, something that you can hear of, a lot of the disks there are not that effective, put it that way, in use. If you have one central space of all the drives that you use, then you have much more effective storage capacity. I don't know. So it scales quite interesting, it upgrades quite easily. A central point, high available. You've got all the stuff for growing on demand, scaling on demand, but if you need more arrays, more storage, you can do it very well. Okay? So that's kind of what I was about to explain to you, how you can have about 1,000 pingments from one disk or one array, how you could do that if you are not putting it into the server on disk, but if you try to move it out to a central location, and have it prepared. So, questions?
If you have a high starting volume that is offline, no one is actually using it right now, is there a way to manipulate it like you have a server running this volume.
Yeah.
And use the system volume and has all the drivers for this particular motherboard.
Yeah.
Let's run the same thing on another board.
Yeah.
You do that, like take a copy of it,
yeah,
alter it
before,
yeah, you boot it.
Yeah. You can do you can make you can clone a volume, which is a disk, right? And since it's a complete file system, it looks like a disk. And at the moment you want to change a couple of things because you know that that other system that we use has a little bit different specs. You can change that. It's a standard drive. Just like you're doing now with Unix. It is, you have to look at iSCSI, really do it. Download iSCSI, your operating system can see the difference between an internal SCSI drive or an external iSCSI drive. It does, like you say.
The Mel guy and actually the Mel servers is already an iSCSI drive.
Not completely. The 6.5, we got lots of Novell guys. It has not all there. It has a couple things there, but not everything.
It supports.
No, I know. We are certified approved by.
I'm not sure anyone uses it.
Oh, I do. I do have a school with 70,000 students that use it, and they're completely fun on it. 6.5, it goes quite crazy. So easy to do. And 50 minutes they're up and running, and then they push me to the coffee machine and they're going to do it themselves. It's very easy to do.
Could you run WordPress?
In Utah, they've got it up and running.
Could you run WordPress with it?
Yep. Yep. You can do it. Yep. Do it also. Please do it. Some requirements. The other thing is, you can. You've got these new laws coming in, SOX compliance, right? Anti-fraud. This is because the snapshot gives you a point in time mechanism to detect stuff, but also to prove at this moment it was okay, and now the next moment, okay, let's see what happened then. So you can make point in time images, but you can also make point in time anti-fraud, safe, SOX compliant moments in time. That's going to be a key thing in the future. SOX compliant already now. Yeah. Sorry, I don't know which order. Okay. Am I supposed to do that, or is it your job?
I'm supposed to do it.
Okay.
Doing it as well.
Okay.
Okay. The order is afraid about the single point of failure, and if you have one site, that is a real danger. In Sweden, that was a big disaster with the biggest daily newspaper in the world. Have you familiar with that?
No, I'm not familiar.
It was the operating system in the Sun.
Okay.
That was a lot of.
Can I ask a question? Which?
Excellent.
HP.
But my question is it so transparent from the client side, the server side, that you can mix the vendors here?
Yeah, because it does. Because it's SCSI technology. One thing more, these guys that started this company are all XP guys. They were the EVA design team, left HP and they no longer do it. The disk drives are SCSI drives. It's completely transparent. So it doesn't matter whether one system is running Linux, the other Novell, the other SUSE, the other Macintosh. We even support fax VMS. We can run them all through each other. We don't care. We give disk space. We don't check. It's not a file. We don't check what you put on us. So there's no penalty on performance there. It's completely transparent. We give you disk space as a SAN is supposed to do, and nothing else. What the server does with it, which file system it puts on it, how it does it, is the server's responsibility. We need disk space. Which version of service we don't care.
But that's why I explained on the daily newspaper.
Yeah.
Even the Sun operating system itself.
Yeah, because that system has an NT operating system inside. And what about NT? This system has no Intel technology in it. Okay. This has a RISC processor running NetBSD. why NetBSD and why this chipset, and this has to do with vulnerabilities. I know 20 SAN vendors that run Intel and run NT-based stuff. How many viruses can I find there? How risky is your SAN? The NASA and some of the very secure sites that I'm not supposed to talk about, for that reason, don't want to have these kind of SAN solutions. Virus vulnerabilities. There's none so ever you can find a combination of NetBSD and a chipset we run. It's the same chipset, another story, same chipset as you find in the best possible switch guys, because this is a switch kind of storage system. Think about the Ciscos, think about the big Nortels, the big HP Cocos. What chipset is in there? That's a RISC multi-channel chipset, and that's the same what we need for gig with Ethernet, or 10 gig, need more. Oh, no, I'm
You said that you could improve capacity by using more NIP cards. Is that equally with the HPAs?
Yeah.
So depending on just place more HPAs.
Yeah. You can if you want the I/O throughput, not the I/O throughput you want, right? Mm-hmm. If you want to have more IOs or more megabytes, in the theoretical limit you've got for a gigabit Ethernet is about 100 megs. So if you want to have double, you need 2 weeks.
Yes, but the HBAs does that as well.
Yeah, but the HBA do exactly the same thing. Okay. The HBA only has an advantage that it offers the OS. Okay. But if you take these AMD Opterons, dual processor, don't think the HBA is, because that's much more efficient. If you take a single service and you don't have the space to put an extra CPU there, yeah, sorry, then you might need an HVA. But if you think Opterons, Xeons, dual processor, don't think HVA, because that offloading is your second CPU processor that does much more. Don't think HVA then. In reality, we don't do it. We don't need it.
If you, let's say, create a 10 gigs volume on this system, does it occupy 10 gigs on the real list?
No, it reserves only the pages. We only reserve 10 gig on pages, and only when you use it, it's there.
But does that mean if you have this system and it contains 300 gigs, that you could create lists for 500 gigs?
At this moment, if I make a volume, that volume is limited to grow to 300. If I want to make it bigger via the GUI, in 1 second I can give that board a little bit more, so I assign more pages and make it 500. That's 1 second work. If I want to do it automated, it's possible because everything is a MIP. And if you guys know a little bit about Perl and Java stuff, you do it yourself completely automated. Because if you think in borders, you go to work. If you have to drive through Europe and think in borders, there's a lot of work. You ship stuff. If you think borderless, like what we're doing in the stories, there are no borders, there is no lungs, there is no partition, not real partition, then there's also no work. Because we give pages away. We fertilize, we give pages, and we think it that way. And the other thing, the operating system itself does the same because it fertilizes a disk. It thinks there's a disk drive and it points to the array. What?
Any other questions?
The other thing, oversubscription, because I was thinking you might think about that. We've got some lazy admin guys that know from, okay, I'm saying I need a tera now, but I only have a half tera. I'm already saying I've got full tera. They wait till it comes, but they already put it in there. That's also possible. But you have to be careful doing that. Because sometimes people copy faster than you think.